National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Project 2. This is Linda Hurwitz and Eleanor Cohen interviewing Mrs. Pauline Milch on December 15, 1977 at her home in the Maxim Towers. Mrs. Milch, we'd like to begin by talking about your family, your father and mother, and that generation first. What can you tell us? Let's start with your mother.
My mother? My mother is originally, well, she was born in Europe, but came as a very young child to New York and lived there until she was married. Her father was a rabbi on the East Side, and she went to school there in New York City. And after having met my father, who came there purely by chance because I had a cousin here, that is, my mother had a cousin here, who told him to look up my grandfather when my father was going to buy some books for his bookstore. Met my mother, and they were married in 1910.
What was your mother's maiden name?
Sachs. Anna. Her name was Anna Sachs.
And they married where?
In New York City. They were married in New York, and she came to Pittsburgh. And I must tell you that I remember in growing up as a young child, she kept crying. She hated Pittsburgh. She wanted back to New York and back to New York. And finally, in 1932, after my grandmother, her mother, passed away, she was living with us, I took my mother back to New York. And she was there for 3 days, and she said, "Don't bring me back again. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be in Pittsburgh." She couldn't take the noise and the dirt and what have you. And my mother has a brother who is a retired rabbi now, and she had a sister who lived in California and has passed away since. And incidentally, my mother was one of a third set of twins. All the children before her passed away as babies, and so when my mother was born with her twin sister and the twin sister passed away, my mother was given, according to Jewish tradition, another name for life. So that's how she got the name Anna. Her name originally must have been Gertrude, because her Yiddish name was Gittel, but they gave her the name of Chaya, which means life, Chaya Gittel, and that seemed to do the trick.
And your grandfather was a rabbi?
Oh yes, he was a rabbi in Europe, and he comes from a family of rabbis. Incidentally, my mother, by the way, is a descendant. My grandmother was a great-granddaughter of the Gaon of Vilna. Yes, and my grandfather was a rabbi, and his family were judges in Vilna, in Lithuania, his brothers. And there's an interesting story about my grandfather's family. My grandfather was the youngest in the family, and on his lifetime, he never met his two eldest brothers. By the time he was born, they had been sent away to yeshivas. In Russia, and he never saw them.
Ever?
Never. Never saw them. They probably married there and lived there with their families. And even, I remember asking my grandmother, because my grandfather died when I was a baby, and she said they didn't even come to the wedding. Why, I don't know. She couldn't even remember the time. But they didn't even come to her wedding. Years later, we had a bookstore on Center Avenue, and I remember we had a kitchen downstairs in back of the store, and my mother came out from the back, and there was a customer talking to my father. He had come in from Butler, PA, and he wanted to buy a talus, and my mother looked at the customer, and he looked at her. They didn't know each other, and he said to her, "Excuse me, where do you come from?" So she naturally said, "New York." She says, "Well, are you from New York?" And originally she said, "No." And she tells him she's from this little town in Aishok, it was called. And he looked at her sort of funny, and he said to her, "You know, I had relatives in Aishok." She said, "You did?" He said, "I had an uncle there, but I never saw him." So my mother, who seemed to remember most of the people in the town, said to him, "Who was your uncle?" He said, "Was a man by the name of Rabbi Judah Sachs. He was the son of the brother that my grandfather had never met. He had settled in Butler somehow or other, and there was a resemblance between my mother and grandfather. I have pictures of them, and he recognized them."
Isn't that unbelievable? Well, then your mother's family came to New York.
Yes.
And they met your father there.
Right.
Right, fine.
Right.
Now, how about your father?
My father came here as a very young child. He also was from, northern, I guess it would be called, it was Latvia, Riga, around the Riga neighborhood. And my grandfather, his father, had come here in the 1880s. He had family here in Reading, and he refused to stay here because he said they were all Goyim. He wouldn't live with my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And he came back to Europe.
What was his name?
My father's name was Hirsch. Hirsch. And
his English name
is Benjamin. His Hebrew name was Ben Sion. And he came back, he wouldn't go. It happened that my grandmother, my father's mother, had a very dearly beloved brother. And he set sail with his wife for Australia in those days. And she asked him to write to her to make sure that he wrote. And he promised her faithfully. She was really the matriarch of her family. And he went away, and she never heard from him. She kept writing and writing and writing and never heard. And my father used to tell me that she just cried herself blind. You know, after she died, my grandfather received a letter from Australia. He told him the most peculiar story, my mother's brother. When he had moved to Australia with his wife wanted to cut all ties with the family in Europe. She had two brothers in Australia. So whenever the letters from my grandmother would come, she would put them away. And after she died, he found all the letters that my grandmother had written in a trunk. And all the letters that he had written, she evidently had destroyed. That's why my grandmother never got it. Anyhow, his children remained in Australia. They had a radio station. And years later, we heard from them on the shortwave radio. But my grandfather wouldn't come back. He was a widower. So my father was a very young boy. He said, well, I'm going to go to the family. I'm going to go to school. So he left, and he came to New York with his sister. And he went to high school in New York, DeWitt Clinton High School. And he started into the yeshiva, which is today Yeshiva University. He was in the first class. But he didn't finish there because he had an argument with his cousin, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, the dean. And he left, and he went to Philadelphia, where he became a Hebrew teacher for his cousin, who was the father of Rabbi Goodman Rose. Rabbi Rose was my father's cousin. And he taught in Philadelphia for Rabbi Rose's father. And then he decided to come to Pittsburgh because he was he was what they called a Lantzman. Came from the same town as Rabbi Ashinsky's wife. And he came here and he opened a Yiddish bookstore down on the Lower Hill District on Franklin Street.
This is your father?
Yes, across from the Franklin School. And while there, he met this cousin of my mother's who came in. And on a shopping trip to New York, he met my mother and they were married. And she came here.
And then they lived, where did they live in Pittsburgh?
First they lived near Franklin Street where they had the store. Then they moved to 1622 Center Avenue where I was born. And then after my sister was born, they moved across the street, 1623. And that's from there, they lived there all the years and then gave it up and moved to Squirrel Hill.
Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about your home life when you were a little girl?
Yes. We had a wonderful family life. And it's really peculiar because my mother was very religious. My father was a nationalist. He was a real devoted and dedicated Zionist. But not quite as religious as my mother. But my mother, anything she said went. I mean, as far as the family, the household and so forth. And since my father was a dedicated Zionist, he insisted from the very beginning that all the four of us go to Hebrew school, and we started to go to the Hebrew Institute at the same time that we started to go to the public schools. And he refused afterwards to talk anything but Hebrew on Friday evenings. And as I was growing up, my husband always laughs about it. My husband and we were going together then, would come down on Friday, we'd take a walk. My father would never let me go out until I had finished going over a page of the Gemara with him, you know. He was very dedicated to education and Zionism. And we really had a wonderful home life, both of my brothers and my sister and I, and everybody. The family just seemed to revolve around our home, and everybody who came from New York came to our place. It was just like an open house or a shelter for travelers. And of course, our store, that's something to tell about, because I meet people today who remember me as a little girl, and they said they'll never forget that store. Everybody came into that store. Everybody from, if you want to know, from communist Jews to the very traditional, and from agnostics to the devout believers. I even had an opportunity as a child to meet Rabbi Stephen Wise, who came here to a Zionist organization, and he came into our store. I met many of the, Louis Lipsky, the journalist, I met them. They all came to our place, and my father used to hold discussions till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning in our store, to the extent that he never saw what customers were doing, and we lost so much money. They just walked out with things, you know.
Were there other Jewish bookstores?
There was one on Logan Street, and but I seemed to be, in those days, Center Avenue seemed to be the hub of everything, and everybody used to come to our place. As a matter of fact, the second floor of our house, which we had, my mother was persuaded to rent out the two front rooms as an office for the Jewish Daily Forward. And naturally, all the socialist Jews came there, and we enjoyed our childhood. We really did.
Well, tell me about your sister and brothers.
Well, my youngest brother is gone now, but my brother is today. My brother became a lawyer and a CPA.
What's his name?
Meyer Hirsch, he in the 30s. Yes. In the late 30s, he went to work in Washington, and while there, he went through law school, and he married, and he moved to Baltimore. He became the head of the Investigative Tax Bureau for the state of Maryland. That is the federal government bureau. My sister graduated from, she seemed to bear the brunt of everything. I was married already, and my brother was out of the house. My sister came next, and there I had a younger brother. And so when she graduated high school and she graduated with honors, my father wanted her to go to college, and she said no. It was, you know, they were having a hard time, but no, she'd have to go to work to help out. So she didn't. She was the only one of us who didn't go, and it was purely her own choice. My father felt very badly about it. And my youngest brother, who is gone now, also went through school. And he became an accountant, but his main love was playing ping pong at the Iron Coffin Settlement. That's where you could always find our Jerry.
His name was Jerry.
His name was originally Judah Hirsch, but when he was very small, both my brother and I were 11 years old. We went into high school, and our Jerry was very short, and he in his third year was taking physics. I'll never forget it. And I had this man myself, Dr. Ogden. And the first day that our Jerry walked in, Dr. Ogden took a look at him, and in his joking way, he said, "Oh, here comes the Lion of Judah." Well, that finished it. My brother came home from school that day. He says, "I'm changing my name. No more Judah. Make it Jerry. I'm not going to be called the Lion of Judah." And so he changed it to Jerry.
What is your sister's name?
Sylvia. She lives in Pittsburgh.
Then economically, you would say that you...
Well, we never felt it, I want you to know, but my parents had a very hard time, particularly in the Depression. Things were very bad, but we never really felt it. When I started to teach school, of course, my whole check went to to the family and so forth, but we really never felt it.
Would you consider your parents disciplinarians? Was it necessary?
My father only had to give us a look, really. All he had to do was look, and that was the end of that. My mother, of course, was very excitable, and she would yell at times, you know, because we didn't do this and we didn't do that. But my father just looked at us, and that was it, and we did what we were supposed to. I'll never forget, I was in high school, and I don't know whatever caused me to take botany and zoology. I hate it. I took zoology, and when I had to, you know, with the caterpillars and stuff. I was just sick. I couldn't do it. And I couldn't do it. So when the first report card came out, I got a C. And I had had all A's till then. My father wanted to know why I received a C. And I said, well, I hate zoology. I can't stand it. He didn't say a word to me. He went down the next day to school. And he talked to my teacher. And I was sitting at the desk when I saw him walk in. I almost passed out. And I don't know what he said, but when I came home from school that day, he said, you'll try harder. That's all he said. You will try harder and you will get a B. And I did. But I hated it. I hated it the whole time. So he was, really, we never had to be hit. We really were, I think we were fairly good children anyways.
What can you tell us about the Pittsburgh, the community that you lived in, the Hill District, during your developing period?
It was a very warm community. Everybody knew each other, that's number one. And everybody cared for each other, that's two. And anybody that was in need really was helped. There were all these organizations. There was this Bikur Cholim and this Lechem Aniyim, which gave the food baskets, and then there was the Traveler's Aid Shelter, I remember. And of course, the Aaron Kaufman with its public health services. And really, it was a very warm and a very good community. And considering how crowded we were in that section and how bad the times were, I think the people there remained really clean physically and mentally. Of course, there are always exceptions, but generally speaking, they were very moral in their approach. And very Jewish.
I was going to say, now, was there any interaction with people that weren't Jewish?
No, there weren't many. The only, there was a Catholic church about three blocks below us. I think the church is still there. That's the only thing that was left standing. And I had an opportunity to meet them because they would come into our store for the papers, for the afternoon papers, these people. And I had an opportunity to meet them, but generally there were no, and that is in my section around Center Avenue. There were on Bedford Avenue. There was quite a community of Syrians, but we had no opportunity to be in touch with them. So I really grew up in almost, I guess you would call almost like a ghetto. I didn't know anybody that was not Jewish. We did have, in the early days, a few blacks.
But how about in the public schools?
The public school in those days, I went to Miller School,
mm-hmm.
I would say it was 99% Jewish. And that was one of the reasons I could never understand why they made such a big fuss at Christmas with a Christmas tree in the hall, you know, and we had to sing Christmas carols, and all of us stood there like dummies. We didn't even know the Christmas carols, you know. And we had to go out every single day and gather around the tree. There were no Jewish teachers. Oh, there was one, Yetta Kamler. She was one of the founders, I think, of, yes. She was my sixth grade teacher. And then when I went to the Fifth Avenue High School, we had kids coming in at that time from Hazelwood. So we did have non-Jews. But in my graduating class, I think we had about 400. I would say that over 300 were Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I didn't have, and we didn't feel, except for one teacher in Fifth Avenue High School, I think most of the teachers were sympathetic to the immigrants and their children.
Was there any experience with this teacher?
Oh, she was impossible. I even hate to mention her name. She was the French teacher, and she should just make fun of all the children. I mean, we were born in Pittsburgh, so we had no accent, but all the kids who came here who had accents used to make fun of them. And she once became very angry when she called him a kike. Well, I didn't know what it was even at the time, so it didn't hurt me at the time. But she really was impossible. The parents complained. Some of the Jewish parents came down to complain. But the principal at that time, Dr. Reinerson, said he had no, he had nothing, he couldn't do anything about it. I said, I'd have to go to the board if they wanted. Nobody really wanted to go to the board, and they thought they would make her lose her job, which was not so, but they didn't want to, even with all their fear and their anger, they wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk more specifically about your education.
Yes.
Let's start with your...
My public school?
My public school, right. Yes.
I went through Miller...
This is your secular education.
Yes.
Okay.
I went through Miller School, the 8 grades, and went through Fifth Avenue High School for 4 years.
When did you graduate?
In 1927. I was 15 at the time. And
how did it happen that you got through so quickly when you were so young?
I'll tell you what happened. When I was in Miller School, I was a voracious reader, and I love reading to this day. And I don't know, the teachers thought that I was way behind, ahead of everybody, so they skipped me all the time because I missed the seventh grade, I remember. I missed the sixth grade, and I missed the third grade. And I, so that when I graduated at 11, I felt like such a baby when I came into high school. I was very unhappy, by the way. And that's why after that, I always used to say, when I was teaching, I would never, never put a child ahead so far because they can never adjust really emotionally. I had a hard time in school adjusting, even though intellectually I graduated second in my class in high school. And I had already enrolled into the university. I was going to be a lawyer.
University of Pittsburgh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend who was going out to the Henry Clay Frick Teachers Training School for an interview. And I remember Victoria said to me, come on, keep me company. I have to go out. The school was at that time, it was out in Brushton, in Homewood. And I didn't know what to do. All right, I'll go with you, Victoria. So we went out there. And Dr. Davidson, who was then the principal of the school, interviewed Victoria. And then he said to me, and you, what are you doing out there? I said, I came with Victoria. We just graduated. He says, where are you going to school? And I said, well, I'm enrolled at the university. He said, I want to talk to you. So I went into his office, and we talked a while. And that's all. I didn't say anything. And I came home, and I didn't say anything to my parents even. And here, a few days later, I got a letter saying that I was accepted into the teacher's training school. So I told my father, and I was so happy, you know, he wouldn't have to pay any money because it was a city institution. He was very upset with me. He thought I was wrong in taking it. I should have remained and gone as a lawyer. And I think that all the years he never forgave me for that. Anyways, I did go to school, and when I finished, that time was 2 years, but while I was there, they made it a third year, and they moved to Oakland, and then after I finished, I went to the university and finished off and got my degree.
So you got a degree at the University of Pittsburgh?
Yes, Bachelor of Science in Education.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you ever regret not going? You say your father resented it. Have you?
Yes, I did. And you know, when I regretted it only after I had open heart surgery. And after I had my surgery, I couldn't teach. I was sorry then, because I used to say to myself, gee, if I had really gone and been a lawyer, I would have been able to do something. And I did regret it then. But all the time, I loved the education. I loved the teaching. So it really didn't bother me too much.
I think the fact is you were so young.
Yes.
By the time you finished high school, you probably weren't quite ready to make
right.
a very...
Yeah. That's why my father
graduated. You were very young, even from college.
I want you to know that when I did my practice teaching, I was 16, and where do you think I did it? The Irene Kaufman Settlement had an open-air school on the roof, and I was sent there to do it, and here I had kids from first to sixth grade, some with had epilepsy and some whatever, TB, and I didn't even know what were these things, and I had kids who were taller than I was and almost as old as I was. So, and when I graduated, I was 18. That's right, 18. And I substituted for half a year. And I substituted it, really funny, at the Whiteman School. And my minor happened to be library science. So they put me in the library then, and this class came in. It was the sixth grade, I'll never forget it. And one of the boys in there was impossible. I was a little one, I was scared stiff anyways, and I couldn't stand him. So finally I walked over to him and I said, now you stop that right away and get over to the table. And he turned away from me and he said, who do you think you are? I said, I'm the teacher. And he said, do you know who I am? I said, no, and I'm not really interested in who you are. And he went, but he sat down, and I see the kids are looking at me, so funny. I thought, what's going on here? So I went over to the kid, and I said, what's your name? He says, David Graham. And I said, Graham? And he said, I want you to know my father is a superintendent of schools. Well, I almost died. I didn't sleep a whole night. I figured, well, that's it, you know? And the next day I came to school, I was so frightened. And I talked to the kindergarten teacher next to me, and I told her, she said, don't worry, it'll be okay. And here I got a letter from Dr. Graham, and he said to me, his son has a habit of acting up because his father is a superintendent, and he gives me his permission to punish him in any way I see fit.
Yeah. When you were going to school, was there much in the way of, well, there must have been much in the way of classroom discipline?
Yes, but we were not allowed to paddle the children.
No, I mean when you were going to school as a student.
Oh, when I went to school?
Yeah.
Well, yes, there was paddling. And I remember the teachers, slapping the kids a little, slapping them around. But I must tell you that the children in those days were different, more the majority. Their parents had such a respect and love and admiration for school and the teachers that anything the teacher did was all right. Mm-hmm. And if the teacher felt like hitting you because you didn't, and you came home and cried, you got it from your parents.
Mm-hmm. But you had a happy time in school. You enjoyed it.
Oh, yes, I loved school, except for the fact that I was emotionally ill-adjusted in high school.
What were your favorite subjects?
Well, my favorite subject, of course, was history. I loved history, and I hated mathematics, but I made an A in algebra, geometry. I'll never know to this day why. I can't understand one thing about it. But history and geography and reading and literature, they were my favorites. Yeah. I'm not scientifically inclined.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about your religious education?
At the very same time, as I said, that I started, we started into the Hebrew Institute. And I went through the elementary school, the Hebrew Institute, through the Lewis I. Aaron High School, and through the Saul Rosenblum Teachers Training School. At the very same time that I received my diploma from the Teachers Training School, I received my Hebrew diploma from the Rosenblum Teachers.
Well, how did you do this? When
did you do school.
This? After
school. I used to run from school at 4 o'clock, but as I got older, the classes were from 6 to 8. So I'd come home and eat and relax and then run to Hebrew school. And I have, and it served me in good stead because I became a Hebrew teacher. In those days, if you married, you couldn't teach. And if you became pregnant, for sure. So when I became pregnant with my oldest child, after my second child was born, I decided I wanted to teach Hebrew since I loved it so much anyhow.